Okay, we're beginning here on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, six lines up. The Gemara here is discussing a machloket, the regards to Shomeret Yabam Shemeta. Yesterday we saw the opinion of Rav Huna Amar Rav, which is Shomeret Yabam Shemeta Mutar Bi'ima. A Shomeret Yabam that's waiting to perform Yibum, and then the Yavama passes away, he's permitted to then have a relationship with her mother, because he never ended up marrying her. But the underlying assumption in that position is Amar Savar Ein Zika, that there's no connection between them until the Yibum is performed. There's no quasi connection to them because of the possibility of Yibum. And therefore there's no residual for this individual in terms of Arayot. Now we have Yehuda Amar, who says the opposite of what we just saw in Rav Huna Marav. Shemeret Yabam Shemeta Asur Be'ima. Here, a case where the Yavama passes away, the Yabam is asur to the mother, Alma Kasavar Yeshzika. He obviously believes that there is this connection between them, even though they never married, even though the Yibum was never carried out, the mere fact that they were potentially to have Yibum between them, that Zika, that connection is enough to consider it as if you're quasi-married. And because of that, if the Yavama passes away without anything being done here, he is asur be'ima with any of her relatives. So just make it clearer, like we said in yesterday's daf, just say the halacha is like the one who says there is zika. Had I only said that the halacha is like the one who says there is zika, then avamina hani mili bechat. That's because here it's one-on-one. So in one-on-one, they are the only two who are appropriate for each other. The Vama for certain will go to this Yabam, because he's the only one who can perform Yibum. Aval betray, if they're two brothers, then Ein Zika. Maybe I would have thought, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Zika there, because there's a possibility of one of the two brothers marrying her. So maybe the Zika only exists when we're certain that this is the Yabam. But we have uncertainty. When there are multiple brothers, then there isn't Zika. But Gemara says, Vaha ki plige betray plige. Wait a minute. Isn't it that exactly where the machloket is, where you have two brothers? So how could you suggest that? Ella, yamar hochi, if you said this, hava mina mechaim, aval achar mita, paka la zika. I would have thought this is similar to what we said in Rav Huna Marav yesterday, which is, I would have a hava mina, this only applies while she's alive. While she's alive, there's a possibility of Yibum. Because there's a possibility of Yibum, therefore, there's a zika that causes them to be as if married. But, achar mita, if she passes away, pakala zika, the zika dissipates, dissolves, is gone, and therefore, you could marry the mother because the zika never took hold. Kamash v'lon, the zika bichdi lo paka. That zika doesn't just disappear like that. The zika is something that stays, unless it's actively removed. So the only way to remove it actively is either to perform yibum or chalitza. And if he performs Yibum or Chalitza, then there is going to be a problem with the mother, either because he's married to her now, or the Chalitza might provide a problem, which is, it looks like she was his wife at some point. So now, we have here a machloket between Rav Huna. Rav Huna is quoting the name of Rav, and then Rav Yehuda, as to whether there is Zika or ain't Zika. This connection that exists between them, how real is the connection between them? When Reuven passes away without children, and leaves his wives for Yibum, Shimon, Levi, what is their relationship to the Yavama? According to Rav Huna Marav, there is no relationship, they have no connection, and therefore, if there's no Yibum or Chalitza performed, this Yavama falls away. If he passes away, then there's nothing to talk about. You can marry the mother, the relatives, anyone. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda believes that Shimon and Levi have a connection with this woman. Because she was their potential Yavama, they are as if they were quasi-married to this woman, even though there's two of them. Each one of them has this relationship with her until one of them decides to take care of the Zika. So Mar says, Lema Mesayile. Let us say this possibly helps him, which is what we brought yesterday as a question in Rav Huna. Let us say that it is a support for Rav Yehuda. Yivimto Shemeta Mutar Bachuta. It's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. If the Yavama passes away, then he is permitted to marry her sister. Bachotain, bi'imalo. Sounds like from that Mishnah that when the Yevamah passes away, the only relative he can marry is the sister, not the mother. Now, sister has a unique standing within Arayot, which is that the sister of one's wife is only restricted while the woman is alive, while the wife is alive, and that's even if she's an ex-wife. But as long as she's alive, she's restricted. If she passes away, she's not restricted. So, if that's the case, the Mishnah also says about Yevamah that only a Achuta is Mutarit. So if that's the case, it's probably because Achuta is a different type of Arayot. So there really is Arayot here. Just because she passed away, the Yevamah, then her sister is permitted, like she would be in a case of, even if it's the wife. Even if you were married to this woman, if she passes away, then her sister is Mutarit. So too by the Yevamah. On the other hand, the mother, no go, because that's real Arayot, and it sounds like there is Zika over here. The Zika is preventing you from marrying the mother, and that would support Rav Yehuda's position. Where it says, Huadinda filu biima. No, the Mishnah is not saying exclusively Achota, it means Achota plus ima. Vaidi the Tani Resha Yishto Shemeta Mutar Bachota. But, as I mentioned before, the earlier part of that Mishnah says that when it comes to one's wife, then if the wife passes away, the sister is then permitted. That's dafka ba'achuta. That's only true by your sister. Aval bi'ima, mother-in-law never becomes permitted. Lo, dahavya isura deoraita. Because there the erva remains, that's an isura deoraita. So tananame seifa. Again, parallel structure in the Mishnah. Talked about this a lot, about memorizing the Mishnayot. So the seifa, where it's not exclusively achuta. By ishto, it is exclusively achuta. But by yivimto, it's any of the arayot. But it says achuta as representative of any of the arayot. So why didn't it mention the others? Because the Reisha mentions Achuta, so the Seifa mentions Achuta as well. Tananami Seifa Mutar Vachuta. But not to read anything into that as Achuta, yes, any Malo, it's Achuta plus any of the arayot, and therefore would not be approved to Rav Yehuda's position. Alright, so now, just to note here, Rashi says, Yesh Zika, when there is a Zika over here, what does Zika consider the woman like? Rashi describes it, the last Rashi in the previous Amud, Yesh Zika, Zikat Yibum Havya Ki Knusa. The Zika of a Yom makes her like a Knusa. So that would make her like a Nisua. Knusa is the terminology for a consummation for a full-fledged marriage. Earlier on the Yamud, Rashi says, in the Rashi, Ein Zika, Zikat Yibum Tosh Meita Lo Alima Lemeheve Ka Arusa. Make like an Arusa. So Rashi over here says both Arusa and Knusa, which have different connotations. It's not clear which way Rashi is leaning. Later on today's daf, the Gemara will say Kiknusa, and Rashi will again say Knusa. But Rashi over here does have one time where he says it's Ke'arusa. That's the real question here. The Zika, how strong is this Zika? Does the Zika make it as if they have Kiddushin? Or does the Zika make it as if they have Nisuin? How far or how strong do we see this bond of Zika? That's one question. Obviously the other question is, do you have a Zika at all? So, does Zika exist? And Zika exists, then how strong is that bond of Zika? Is it only Ke'arusa or is it Ke'nisua? Which obviously has implications with regards to certain dinim that are only applicable by Kiddushim versus those that are applicable by Nisuin. Alright, Meiti Ravuna Barchia. Ravuna Barchia poses a question. Asaba Mamar Umeit. He performed ma'amar with the woman. Ma'amar is this kedushin de rabbanan for a yivama. Umeit, and then passed away. Shnia choletzet velo mitya bemet. So this is a case, Reuven passed away with no children. His wife is available for yibum. Shimon, who has a wife already, goes ahead and wants to marry this yibum, this yivama, and therefore does kiddushim, he does ma'amar with her, intending to marry her. But then he dies, passes away without children. So now his wives are available to Levi to perform yibum. Mate, shnia choletzet veloy mitya bemet. The co-wife has to do chalitza and not yibum. Taima davad ba ma'amar. That's only, yeah, Shimon's real wife, the wife that he had prior to attempting to perform yibum with Reuven's wife, she needs to have al chalitza and not yibum. So, taima davad ba mamar. That's only because Shimon got involved with Reuven's wife. Halo avad ba mamar. Had he not gotten involved with Reuven's wife at all, shnia nami yivume miyabmo. Sounds like the case here where Shimon's wife would be muteret legamre to Levi. Well, what about Reuven's wife that was waiting for Yibum? How come we don't say the Zika over there makes it as if she is a quasi-wife of Shimon? Even before Ma'amar, that Zika should be strong enough. What it indicates here is only Ma'amar brings her into that world. If she didn't have Ma'amar, if it was without anything, then she wouldn't be in the world of being considered like a wife. V'yamart, yesh Zika, if she really does have a Zika over here, havilat sarat, eshet achiv. Then the wife of Shimon, prior to the wife of Reuven appearing before him for Yibum, she becomes now the co-wife of Eshet Achiv, Haya Be'olamo, Bezika. Right, that possibility would have led it to be that Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Rivka, and then Reuven passes away without children, and now Rachel is available for Yibum to Shimon. If you think there's a Zika, that connection between Shimon and Rachel should cause a problem, well, not really a problem, but protect or stop Shimon's real wife, Rivka, from having the possibility of Yibum. Yet, the Braita that we just quoted only says it with regards to Ma'amar, doesn't say without Ma'amar. So, Amarabo wadin, da'afagav do avad ba Ma'amar. That's even if he didn't do Ma'amar, shnia mechaleitz chalza, yivume lo yimayabma. He can only perform chalitza, he cannot perform Yibum. Va'adiktani Ma'amar. So then, why does the Braita over here mention Ma'amar? Afuke mi beit shemai. Damre ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. Comes to exclude the position of Beit Shammai, who says that Ma'amar has a full-fledged kinyan. Beit Shammai, we'll see this later on in the Masechta, argues on Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says simply Ma'amar is a kiddushin derabanan, creates a partial connection. Beit Shammai says it creates a full-fledged finishing of the Yibum process, and they are married. This is a Yavam and Yavama that got married through the Ma'amar. So this Mishnah clearly states that that's not the case. That Ma'amar only gets you far enough along to be Kedushin Derabanan, but the co-wife still requires Chalitza or Yibum. We say to him, only do Chalitza and not Yibum, but you still require something, because Min HaTorah, Shimon never married Reuven's wife, because it's only Ma'amar. According to Beit Shammai, he already married this woman, Reuven's wife, because of the Ma'amar that was performed. And therefore, Shimon's wife from beforehand would go with free without anything. No chalitza, no yibum, because she's a co-wife to an erva, which is eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. So that's why the example brought here is one of Ma'amar, to show you that Beit Shammai is incorrect. So again, if Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Rivka, Reuven passes away, his wife Rachel is now available, Shimon performs Ma'amar with Rachel, and then passes away. According to Beit Shammai, that was a full-fledged completion of the Yibum process, and that means that Shimon was now married both to Rachel and to Rivka. That means now, if Shimon passes away, and Levi, who was not around when Reuven was alive, he was born after Reuven passed away, he will be clearly restricted in Rachel, the original wife of Reuven, so that's an erva for him, and Rivka will go free without any Yibum or Chalitza, because she is a co-wife to an erva, Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olam. That's Beit Shammai's position. Along comes over here, and we say that position of Beit Shammai is incorrect, because over here by Ma'amar, we're still requiring Chalitza for Rivka, the wife of Shimon, because the Ma'amar did not make Rachel into a full-fledged wife of Shimon. Tosfot asks over here, Lama Tzrichei Lemitnei B'Shtei Mekomot Lafukei Beit Shammai. Because we have a Mishnah later on in Dalet Achim that is also brought there to tell you that Beit Shammai is wrong and that Ma'amar is in Koneh. So why do we need it over here as well? So he says, Eishlamar, Dilab Mishnah Yetera. Had it not been for the fact that we have two Mishnayot saying the same thing about Beit Shammai, Avedakina Mimatlit and Kepashta, we would have been Medayek out of the Mishnah, like Rav Huna Bar Chiya suggests, that Ma'amar yes, without Ma'amar no, and therefore there is no Zika. The Mashma Dafka Asaba Ma'amar. So along comes the two Mishnayot tell you this is all about Beit Shammai. This is not about the diuk that you're going to make out of the Mishnah. Because the Pashtut of Mishnah is to make the diuk and not to say it's Lafuke Beit Shammai. Here we have two Mishnayot saying the same thing. Then it's not the diuk anymore. It's rather to exclude Beit Shammai. So Eitvei Abayi. Abayi now challenges this position of Yehuda. Shnei Achim Ba'ulam Echad. Two brothers who were around in the same time. Umeit echad mehem below Vlad. One of them passes away without a child. V'amar ha-sheni hazeh lasot ma'amar b'yivimto. The second one comes along and says, I'm going to do ma'amar with the yivama. V'lo ispik lasot ba'amar ad sheno lo la'ach umeit. Before he has a chance to do ma'amar, Levi is born, and then Shimon passes away. The first wife, the one that was married to Reuven, who was a Yivama, that Shimon wanted to do something with, ended up doing nothing with her, that woman does not require Yibum Chalitza with Levi, because Levi has no relationship with this woman, because he was born after the passing of Reuven. She's Eshet Achiv Shaloi Belomo, therefore she's not real away for Yibum, she goes away without anything. Vishnia, Ocholetzet, Omitya Bemet. The second one, meaning the wife of Shimon, now can have either Chalitza or Yibum with Levi. Because Levi was born prior to the death of Shimon. And Shimon was married to a woman that had nothing to do with Reuven. He only had his wife that he had from beforehand. V'yamar Deish Zika. If you say there is Zika, Habilei Tzarat, Eshet Achiv Shalaya Be'olamo B'Zika. Then Reuven's wife had a Zika to Shimon, and that Zika should cause a problem for Shimon's wife from beforehand, Rivka, that should cause a problem. So the Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author of this? Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir is the author of this, Damar Ein Zika. This is authored by Rabbi Meir, who says there is no Zika. Ein Ochanami, you're right. This clearly states that there is no Zika over here. But, nevertheless, it's not a question on me, Rabbi Yehuda says, because that's Dat Rabbi Meir. That's not the Dat Kulam, because it actually over there, it says, Divrei Rabbi Meir, in the Seifa. So what we're saying is that the whole statement is made by Rabbi Meir, and therefore Rabbi Meir is the one who says that. We know Rabbi Meir says Ein Zika, and that's not a question on me. That's Rabbi Meir. I'm holding like the Chachamim who say there is Zika. Umisfir lay the Rabbi Meir Ein Zika. How do you know that Rabbi Meir really holds that there is no Zika? That's not. Don't we have a Mishnah? Arba'a Achim. Four brothers. Shnai Mehen Nisuin Shte Achayot. Two of them are married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. Umeitu anusvim achayot. Then Reuven and Shimon pass away and leave their wives, Rachel and Leah, available for Yibum to Levi and Yehuda. Harelu chutzot velo mityabmot. The residual brothers, Levi and Yehuda, have to perform chalitza with Rachel and Leah. They may not perform Yibum. Can't perform Yibum because it's achot zukukato. Each one of them he is quasi-married to, because they're available for Yibum, and they're sisters. So if he takes one of them as a Yivama, then he's Pogeya with the other one, which is has his Zika to him, has a connection to him. If you think Rabbi Meir holds, there's no Zika. Hanu mitrei bati ka'atyon. These are coming from two separate houses. Hayli yabeim chado. V'hayli yabeim chado. If Rabbi Meir says there's no Zika over here, then Rachel and Leah came from two separate brothers. They're not Rachel and Leah that come from one brother. They're Rachel and Leah who come from two separate brothers. Therefore, Levi should perform Yibum with Rachel, and Yehuda should perform Yibum with Leah, and there's no problem. The only problem here is Zika. So if you really believe that Rabbi Meir holds there's no Zika, then why don't we say that the solution here is that let them have Yibum. Each one of them will perform Yibum with one of the two women. Where it says, Lola main Zika, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Zika. Mishum de kasavar, asur levatel mitzvat yivamin. The problem over here, why by the four brothers, two of which are married to sisters and then pass away, the reason we don't let Levi and Yehuda perform Yibum with Rachel and Leah is because, not because of Zika, rather because of something we mentioned yesterday, we don't want you to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. De dilma admiabim chad. If one of the brothers, let's say Levi, goes out and performs Yibum with Rachel, Mayit Idach, then the other brother passes away. V'kabitalta mitzvah Yivamim. And now you got rid of the mitzvah of Yibum. Now this is very interesting, because in this scenario, we have the two brothers that are available, Levi and Yehuda, and now Rachel and Leah are available for Yibum to them. According to the Mishnah, the only thing Levi and Yehuda can do is perform Chalitza. Levi will do Chalitza with Rachel, Yehuda will do Chalitza with Leah, or vice versa, it doesn't matter. And that will be the end of the story. Why do they have to perform Chalitza? Well, originally we thought because of Zika. Now we're suggesting, maybe not because of Zika, but we don't want you to ruin the mitzvah of Yibum. Now what's the alternate scenario? The alternate scenario is that Levi marries Rachel and performs Yibum. And then Leah goes out without anything. Why? Because Yehuda passed away. So now Levi's the only one available to perform Yibum with her, but he's already married to her sister. So then they would do nothing with her. If Yehuda's around, then he'd perform Yibum with her, and fine. But if you, this is our chashash, that Yehuda passes away, and now Levi's left with being, forming Yibum with one of them, and the other one can't do anything because it's sister, it's Arayot, and then she's gone without anything. So now the question is, let's look at the two options. In one option, I do chalitza with both women. Levi will do chalitza with Rachel, Yehuda will do chalitza with Leah. In the other option, Levi performs Yibum with Rachel, and then Leah goes out without anything. And now the Gemara is saying, oh, you're being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. Where are you being mevatel mitzvah of Yibum? You're only being mevatel chalitza. All you're doing is not doing chalitza with the other woman. So neither of them are going to perform Yibum. It was going to be chalitza and chalitza. You see from this Gemara, at least the explanation, this is something we discussed earlier in the Masechta, that this part of the Gemara, this sugya views chalitza and Yibum as being equal options with regards to whatever connection is between them. Mitzvah, chalitza, Yibum are two sides of the same coin, and you have to opt. You opt either to do Yibum or you do chalitza. In that scenario, now I can understand. If Levi performs Yibum, and then the other woman goes out with anything, or the other option is that Levi performs chalitza, and Yehuda performs chalitza, we opt for the case where they both perform chalitza, versus where one of them performs Yibum. Because chalitza and Yibum are two sides of the same coin, and we'd rather you perform the mitzvah of Yivamin. This is included under the mitzvah of Yibum. That's chalitza. And we'd rather you do chalitza with both of them than only Yibum with one of them. If you believe that Yibum is the main mitzvah, and chalitza is just a way to unwind, if you don't want to perform Yibum, how do I unwind whatever is here? Then you do chalitza. Then obviously your answer would look very differently over here. You would say, let's opt for Yibum. And okay, you don't do chalitza. You don't have to do chalitza. Chalitza is just if it's necessary to dissolve the relationship over here and not perform Yibum, so I need chalitza. But it's not an equal option to Yibum. It's just, if I don't perform Yibum, then what do I have to do? That's clearly not the case over here. Here the Gemara is putting chalitza and Yibum on the same plateau. Both Rashi and Tosafot over here note that if the first brother performs chalitza, then in this case, the second brother can perform Yibum, because over there, there's no fear of being vato mitzvah Yibumim. Because we had chalitza performed by Levi to Rachel. And then Yehuda is performing Yibum with Leah. And there's no problem, because Yehuda is clearly alive in order to perform Yibum over here. So in the scenario where we have chalitza to the first, then we don't have any chashash of the problem of being mevatel the mitzvah Yibumim, because Levi never marries Rachel, and therefore he would have to perform chalitza with Leah if Yehuda passed away. But or if Yehuda is still around, he can perform Yibum. So why does it say here that Shneem Chalzot, that they both have to do chalitza? The first one can do chalitza, the second one, whoever the second one to marry is, could do Yibum. So both Tosfot and Rashi say, technically it's true, it would work, but we don't allow you to do it because we're afraid of the opposite happening. Our fear is of Yibum being first and then Chalitza, so we don't allow Chalitza, then Yibum, for fear of people then being Matir, Yibum, and Chalitza, and that could lead to being Mevat to the mitzvah of Yivamin. And so therefore, the Gemara now concludes that, obviously, if there was Zika over here, if there was Zika, then Levi and Yehuda could not perform Yibum with Rachel and Leah. But the Gemara says, even if you don't think there's Zika like Rabbi Meir, nevertheless, Levi and Yehuda should perform Chalitza. That way we're certain that something is performed with both women. So if Levi performs Chalitza with Rachel, then Yehuda will perform Chalitza with Leah. If Yehuda passes away after Levi's performed Chalitza with Rachel, he will still perform Chalitza with Leah. Since he's not married to the sister, he will have to perform Chalitza with the other sister because they came from two separate brothers, one from Reuven, one from Shimon. And therefore you will ensure that the mitzvah of Yibum is carried out with both women, instead of the possibility that maybe only one of the women will have the mitzvah of Chalitza, in the case where Levi is Miyabim Rachel, and then Yehuda passes away, and Leah goes away without anything because she is now Achot Ishto. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion, and that's what we said before. Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah by the two brothers that were together in the world. One of them passed away. Reuven passed away without any children. Shimon did nothing with this woman. And now Shimon passes away, and Levi is now left with the wife of Shimon, as well as the wife of Reuven. The wife of Reuven is nothing to him because he was born after Reuven died. And the wife of Shimon he can perform Yibum with. And we don't say there's a problem of Zika because that is authored by Rabbi Meir who says, Ein Zika. Now Gemara says, if he ain't Zika, if there's no Zika over here, Tivatel, then we should get rid of the mitzvah of Yibum. Without Zika, why is there any mitzvah of Yibum? And we discussed this before also, that in the case where you believe that Yibum and Chalitz are equal, then Yibum and Chalitz is just evidence of the fact that there is Zika. So if there's evidence of the fact that there's Zika, that means that the main thing is Zika. Then, once I have Zika, I have to deal with it. Either I do Yibum or Chalitza. Because each one of them is evidence of the same thing. There's a Zika here. But if you don't believe there's a Zika over here, then the mitzvah of Yibum seems to be non-existent. Meaning that you don't have to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum disappears in that case without Zika. So why are we worried about mitzvah Yibum? It never really started that we're worried about being mevatelet. So because Ahad the Rabbi Gamliel, because we have an example of this. Amar ein Zika. We know Rabbi Gamliel believes there is no Zika. Muter levatel mitzvah divamim. And he says you're allowed to ruin the mitzvah of Yibum. It's none. Rabbi Gamliel omer, im miyana miyana, vim lo miyana, tamtin, ad she tagdil, v'teitzei ala az mishum achot isha. Here's a case where, again, Reuven is married to Rachel. Shimon is married to, let's call it Leah here, who is Rachel's sister, but Leah is a ktana. Leah is a woman who's underage. Therefore, the kiddushin of Shimon to Leah is only midrabanan. So, on our mission, we saw this. We teach the young girl, Leah, to do miyun with Shimon. So that releases Shimon from that marriage, and then he can deal with the wife of Reuven. There we talked about whether he can only perform chalitza, not yibum, because it doesn't look right, because he was married at one point to Leah, but then he can deal with the doraita problem of yibum and chalitza. Rabban Gamliel says, you know what? Leah can decide to do whatever she wants. She wants to perform miyun. She wants to do miyun. She can do miyun. She doesn't want to do miyun. She doesn't have to do miyun. So, if she does miyun, then we're in the same case we were in before. Then Shimon's available to deal with Reuven's wife, and he'll deal with her on a doraita level. If she doesn't perform miyun, now I have a problem. I have competition between a mitzvah derabonon of marriage versus the mitzvah doraita of yibum. So what do I do? So this is what Rabbi Gamliel says. Tamtid ad she tagdil. The question of Tamtin, who's waiting over here, Rashi says, Reuven's wife, who's now a Yivama, will wait until Leah grows up. Because once she grows to be of age, Leah, and she continues to stay married to Shimon, then it becomes a marriage deoraita. So once it becomes a marriage deoraita, that can get rid of the problem of Yibum deoraita. So what Rabban Gamliel says you do over here is, wait for Leah to grow up, then she will stay with Shimon, and when she stays with Shimon, then Reuven's wife, Rachel, goes away without any question. She is now achot ishto, and therefore she is dismissed from Yibum. On the other hand, the way Tosafot learns it, is tamtin ad shetagdil, is that Shimon should not have bi'ah with Leah until she becomes of age. Because if he has bi'ah with her until she becomes of age, then it looks a little bit strange. He is now having bia with this ktana, while there's a yavama, midoraita, waiting for him, who's her sister. That doesn't look right. But wait till she's of age, have bia with her, which will consummate the marriage with her. Since he consummates the marriage with her, then Rachel is out of the picture because he's married to Leah. So the question of who's waiting over here. Rashi says the yavama is waiting until the girl comes of age. Tosafot says the ktana is waiting until she comes of age in order to have bia with Shimon to consummate the marriage. Either way, you have to consummate the marriage, make it doraita, and that gets rid of the mitzvah of Yibum. So now, in this case, clearly Rabbi Gamliel doesn't think there's Zika here, because if he thought there was a Zika over here, then Reuven's wife would have a Zika to him, and that would ruin his marriage to this ktana, which is only midrabanan, and then we couldn't say to him, go ahead and keep this woman around, so he clearly believes there's no Zika. On the other hand, he also must believe that being mevatel, the mitzvah of Yibum is not an issue, because over here you see that he doesn't worry about the fact that if you keep this katana around, the mitzvah of Yibum is going to dissolve by itself. It's going to be annulled automatically because you remain married to this girl, eventually have beer with her when she's a gdola, and that's going to take care of the Yibum. But yet he's faced with the mitzvah of Yibum, we don't say to do it. So Rabban Gamliel clearly believes, number one, in Zika, and number two, believes that being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum is not an issue. So we see there's a correlation between Ein Zika and the fact that we don't worry about the mitzvah of Yibum. So why don't you say the same thing with Rabbi Meir? If Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zikah, he should also hold that there's no problem of being Mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. If that's the case, then how do you explain the Mishnah later on with Arba Achim? You said, okay, it's not about Zikah, it's about being Mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. But if you don't hold Ein Zikah, then you also hold that there's no problem of being Mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. Mar says, I'm a leader, Rabbi Meir Karamit. Wait a minute. You're asking us what Gamaliel's position on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold like Rabbi Gamaliel. Rabbi Gamaliel believes Ein Zikah plus no problem of getting rid of the mitzvah of Yibum. Rabbi Meir says Ein Zikah, but he thinks there is a problem getting the mitzvah of Yibum. Why does Rabbi Meir have to hold like Rabbi Gamaliel? Now the Mar says, well, Hachikama, this is what I meant to say. Rabbi Meir chayish afilu l'sfeika. Rabbi Meir is choshesh even for a safek of Yibum. Here, he doesn't think that we're really going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. It's only in the case where one of the brothers passed away. Levi performed Yibum, and then Yehuda passed away before he performed Yibum. That's the case where you're going to lose out on the mitzvah of Yibum. So it's a safek. It's only if Yehuda passes away do we have this possibility of being ruining or not having the full mitzvah of Yibum being performed over here. So he's choshesh even for a safek. Over here, Rabbi Gamliel, in the case of the Ktana, where we know for sure he's going to be mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum, he doesn't worry about it. Their opinions are so far apart. Meaning that Rabbi Gamliel says, I don't even care if you walk over the mitzvah of Yibum. And Rabbi Meir says, I'm worried about even the possibility. So their opinions are too far apart. Why are they so far apart? That doesn't make so much sense. Rabbi Meir should have an opinion that's somewhat closer. He doesn't have the exact opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, but it should be somewhat closer to Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. Mar says, Dilma, mandala chayish. So Mar says, no, maybe that's exactly it. The one who doesn't worry about ruining the mitzvah of Yibum, afilu levadai lo chayish. When he doesn't worry, he doesn't worry at all. Umanda chayish. And the one who does worry about being vatel the mitzvah of Yibum, afilu lesfeka chayish. He worries about ruining it, even if it's only a safek of ruining it. So no, that's no evidence of the fact. And therefore, Rabbi Meir's opinion will be ein zikah, but yet he will worry about being vatel the mitzvah of Yibum. Amarlei Abaye the Rav Yosef. So now that's the end of the questions on this position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that there is Zikah. We brought a number of questions on his position, Mishnayot, that seemed to indicate that there is no Zikah. One of them we said was about Mamar, and that was coming to exclude Beit Shammai's opinion, not to say that there is no Zikah. The second one we said is authored by Rabbi Meir, who holds Ein Zikah, and that's why it's not a problem for him. We questioned whether Rabbi Meir really thinks Ein Zikah because of the Mishnah of Arba Achim later on, and the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem because of Zikah, that's a problem because of being Mevatel Mitzvah Yibum. And then we question that from Rabbi Gamliel, can you really hold in Zikah and still think there's a problem of being Mevatel Mitzvah Yibum? And the Gemara's conclusion is, yes, you can have such a split opinion. Rabbi Meir believes in Zikah, but he still worries about being Mevatel Mitzvah Yibum. Then Abaye comes along and says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Hadar Rabbi Yehuda de Shmuel. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was both a Talmid of Rav and Rabbi Yehuda. What the Abaye is suggesting over here is that Rabbi Yehuda's position derives from Shmuel, not from Rav. He did not, because we have a Mishnah. Shomeret Yavam, Shikidesh Achiv et Achuta. So a case where you have a Shomeret Yavam, and the brother now marries the sister, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda b'meteira amru, omrim lo hamtein, ad yaseh achicha maseh. Wait till your brother does whatever he has to do, and then you can finish off your marriage. Reuben was married to Rachel, passes away without children. He has two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Either one of them can perform Yibum with Rachel, who was Reuben's wife. Levi decides that he wants to marry Leah, who is Rachel's sister. Not married, nothing to do with the story here, but happens to be Rachel's sister. So Levi goes ahead and says, I'm going to go get married to Leah. Whoa, what do you mean that he's going to get married to Leah? That is Achot Zukukato. Right, you have in the Yibun scenario here. So what do we say to him to do? Wait till Shimon does either Chalitza or Yibum with Rachel, and then you're clear to do whatever you want with Leah. Because either now Rachel is the wife of Shimon, and therefore it's not a problem for him, or if he does Chalitza with her again, she's out of the picture, and then Leah has no relationship, so then he can do it. So Va'amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteira. The Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Meteira that we tell him to wait. You would only tell him to wait if Zikah is an issue. If Zikah is an issue, tell him to wait. If Zikah wasn't an issue, he could go ahead and marry Leah and do whatever he wants, and it wouldn't be an issue because you still have Shimon in the picture who can do the mitzvah of Yibum. So he's not being mevatel the mitzvah of Yibum. And he's not pogeya in anyone because there's no zika over here. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda Meir Teira believes there is a zika, and that's what preventing Levi from marrying Leah prior to Shimon doing something with Rachel. Now, Tosafot clarifies over here and says, Omri, dafka kidesh, Omri lo emtei melisa. It's only if Levi already performed kiddushin with Leah, we tell him, don't consummate the marriage until Shimon acts with Rachel. But that's only if he has kiddushin. So we tell him, don't do nisuin, because it looks like you're marrying achot zkuyato. Avalim nasakvar. If he already did nisuin, he did kiddushin, nisuin, completed the marriage completely, and it's his full wife, then being a wife takes away the zika. It removes the zika. Even though we wouldn't have advised you to do that, but if he did it, it takes care of the zika, and he doesn't have to wait then. If he already performs nisuin, he can have bia with his wife, he can do whatever he wants. So that's number one. Number two is, if he performed kiddushin before Reuven passed away, then he can go ahead and complete the nisuin. He doesn't have to wait. Because when he did the kiddushin, he did it beheter gomor. He did it before there was ever an issue. So then we're not going to tell him, stop, wait, because he already had kiddushin. He's already married to the sister. So the only scenario we're going to tell him to wait, according to this, is if he performs kiddushin after the yevamah became available to him. We say, wait a minute, you shouldn't have done this. Wait. Wait till complete this marriage of nisuin until your brother takes care of the yevamah. But what you see here, number one, is Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira clearly worries about Zika, and Shmuel paskins aloha like Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying this in the name of Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda, who says there is Zika by Yibum, also is saying this in the name of Shmuel. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says back to him, Di Rabbi, why are you so certain that Rabbi Yehuda is saying this in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, not in the name of Rabbi Rav? If I said to you, Rabbi Yehuda is saying this in the name of Rav, why would that be a problem? Because, Kasha the Rav of the Rav, because if that's the case, then it would be a problem for Rav Rav. Why is there a problem? What was the first statement here? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. So there, Rav clearly said, Ein Zika. Then if Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yesh Zika, now we have a steer in Rav. Rabbi Yehuda is saying there is Zika going to Rav, and Rav Huna is saying there's not. He says, Dom Amar Rainenu, Valdibi de Rav. Rabbi Yosef says to Abai, wait, you're going to tell me there's a steer in Rav now between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav? Dom Amar Rainenu, Valdibi de Rav. That's exactly what they're arguing about. There are two Amorayim here, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, and they're arguing about what Rav said. Rav says, came indeed, mar mishmei de Shmuel behedja. First of all, we know for sure that Shmuel says, yesh zika. That's number one. Number two is, umishmei de Rav ke Amorai. If I set it up from being from Rav, it's clearly a machloket Amorayim, lo shevkinim mishmei de Shmuel behedja, uminim ke Amorai, valibu de Rav. It's just a much simpler scenario to say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying this in the name of Shmuel, when we're certain that Shmuel says Yesh Zika, than to set it up that he is saying in the name of Rav, and now we have a Machloket Amoraim. Why would you opt for a Machloket Amoraim when you can make it all simple and say it's a Shmuel and Rav's different opinions over here? So I'm Rav Karano, Amrita the Shmaita Kamed Rav Zvid, Minarda. I said this over to Rav Zvid Minardar. Amr Atun Hachun Hachi Matnitin La. You did it this way, which is that when Rabbi Yehuda made the statement over here, he just said it without any attribution. That's why you had the problem. Anan behejen matitina. We explicitly say that Rabbi Yehuda said it, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. That Rabbi Yehuda said it in the name of Shmuel. So therefore, it's not even a question. We know that he said it in the name of Shmuel. Shemeret yabam, shemeita, asur bi'ima. Almar kasavre, yesh zika. Ba'az de Shmuel letameh. And now you can say, Shmuel is l'shita to, Amar Shmuel, lochik Rabbi Yehuda, ben b'teira. As we had before. Vitzriche, and we need both cases. We need both the case where Shmuel says that Halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'Meteira, and we need the case of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel that there the Halacha is why. Diashmina yesh zika havamina hani mile bechad. I would say when you say there's zika, that's only when there is one brother in the picture. That was the case by Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. There's only one brother in the picture there. Aval betray over here the case of Rabbi Yehuda b'Meteira where there are two brothers in the picture. Lo, maybe there is no zika. Kamash v'lon. That there is both. If you only told me the loch said Rita Matera, Havamina Hani Mila Mikhaim. I would have thought that's only when she's still alive, the Yivama is still alive. When the Yivama passes away, I would have thought that the Zika dissolves, is annulled, and therefore he can marry her relatives and there's no problem here. Pakala Zika, I would have thought the Zika disappears. Kamashman, the Zika Bihti lo paka. That's the conclusion that Zika just doesn't disappear. It doesn't just dissolve, it's not just annulled. Without any action or activity be taken in order to annul it. Right now, move on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is a continuation of the first Mishnah. And similarly, the only reason to bring this Mishnah over here is because there's one slight difference in the Mishnayot. And that is, again, our Mishnah talking about three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi is born after the death of Reuven. The only difference between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah is when Levi is born. Is Levi born before Shimon performs Yibum with Reuven's wife? Or is he born after Shimon performs Yibum with Levi's wife? And that's what we have here. Shnei Achim, Umeit Echad Mehem. Two brothers, and one of them passes away. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passes away without children. V'abama Sheni et Eshet Achiv. Shimon now performs Yibum with Reuven's wife. V'achar kach nolan lehem ach. And then only then is Levi born. When Levi is born, all the women are Shimon's wives at that point in time. Shimon has two wives, his original wife, plus the wife that he got through Reuven. So then, umeit, Shimon passes away. First, woman goes out because it's erva. Levi and Reuven were never alive together. And since she derived from Reuven, therefore, she's a erva. Eshet achiv shelo yabo olamo. This is the shita of the chachamim. That it doesn't matter. Eshet achiv shelo yabo olamo. Doesn't matter which order you do it in. It's always a problem. And since she was the wife of Reuven, it's a problem here. Vashnia, her co-wife, meaning Shimon's original wife, Mishum Tsarata, goes out because she's a co-wife to an erva. Asaba mamar. So here's an interjection. He did mamar, umeit. Hashnia choletzit velo mitya bemet. If he did mamar and then died, the second one does chalitza, not yibum. This we just quoted before. That was one of the questions that we brought on Rav Yehuda, who said yesh zika. Over here, does mamar umeit, hashnia choletzit velo mitya bemet, means only when you do mamar does it sound like that. You didn't do mamar, sounds like you could do yibum or chalitza. The Gemara says, no, hu adin, even if you didn't do mamar, this is coming to exclude the position of Beit Shammai. That's why Tosafot asks, why do you need two Mishnayot to exclude the position of Beit Shammai? Because here's one Mishnah, and later on in Arba Achim, we're also going to see it again. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, and this is where it comes out, Miyabeim Leizum Hen Shirtzeh. Rabbi Shimon says that Levi can perform yibum with either one of Shimon's wives. O chalitza Leizum Hen Shir, or pick one of them to do yibum or one of them to do chalitza, because Rabbi Shimon believes since Levi was never around when Reuven's wife was available for Yibum, she becomes the full-fledged wife of Shimon now when he performs Yibum with her. And therefore, when Shimon dies, Levi was alive while Shimon was married to these women. And he can perform Yibum with either one of these women. Reuven's out of the picture now completely. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, Levi can perform Yibum with either of these women. There's no erva of Eshet Achiv, Shelo Haya Be'olamo. Right. He thinks that once Shimon has married her, Reuven is out of the picture completer. Shimon now becomes the husband of Rachel without any connection back to Reuven. Now, I'm Rabbi Oshaya. If you remember, we saw this back in Daf Tet. Back in Daf Tet, Rabbi Oshaya said, Chalukaya Rabbi Shimon Afirishona. The statement here of Rabbi Shimon, where he's Cholek and the Chachamim, is not only referencing our Mishnah here, the Seifa, but is also referencing the Reisha, the first Mishnah in the Perek. So that he says that Rabbi Shimon argues on both. That even in a case where Levi is born after Reuven's death, but before Shimon marries her, still he can marry this woman. Because she becomes the wife of Shimon, and that terminates the connection to Reuven. So me, my, Tani Mishnah Yetera. Because the first Mishnah Ar Perek is extraneous. Was not necessary. Bava Dereisha Laman Ketani La. Why does the Mishnayot write the first Mishnah, or the Reisha of the Mishnah in our Perek? Ilei Mele Rabbonon. If it's for the Rabbanon, Hashta Yabam Ulusof Nolad, in a case where Shimon already married her, and then Levi is born, Chiyashkacha Beitera, Levi only knew this woman when it was mutter to him, when she was married to Shimon, Chiyashkacha Beitera Ashkacha, he only found her, he only had a relationship towards this woman when it was mutar, because it was with Shimon, Asri Rabbanon. The Rabbanon here say it's Asur, then Nolad, Vachakach Yabam, in a case where Levi was born before Shimon married the woman, Mibai, you're going to have to tell me. Of course she's Asur in that case. If even when Levi's born after Shimon marries Reuven's wife, we say it's Asur, then certainly if Levi's born before Shimon married Reuven's wife, when she was waiting for Yibo, then certainly Levi is Asur. So clearly the Rabbanan don't need the ratio of the Mishnah because they already are mentioning in the Seifa a case that is more likely to be Mutar, and yet they say Asur. Elalav the Rabbi Shimon. So then why do they write the ratio? Because of Rabbi Shimon. We need it before Rabbi Shimon to tell you that Rabbi Shimon argues both on both cases. Not only the case in our Mishnah here, but the case in the beginning of the Perek. And it teaches the first Mishnah in the Perek to teach you the strength of Rabbi Shimon. That even in that case, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. And it writes our Mishnah right here to tell that the Rabbanan say here, it's still Asur. So then why don't we bring Rabbi Shimon's opinion on the Reisha, on the first Mishnah? He lets the Rabbanan finish their full opinion, which is both in the two scenarios. One where Levi is born before Shimon marries Reuven's wife, and one where Levi is born after Shimon marries Reuven's wife, and then Vahadar Poligalai, and then he comes to argue on the entirety of the Mishnah. And that's what Rabbi Ushaya's position is. Ela Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo, the Rabbi Shimon, Eicha Mishkachava. Where is the scenario where you have Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo, according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Ushaya, who says that Rabbi Shimon always thinks that as long as the brother Shimon marries this woman, he clears her for Levi, then where do we ever have a case where Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo? Rabbi says, easy. Bechad Acha. One brother. Umit. A case where there's only Reuven and Levi. Reuven passed away without children. Levi was born after Reuven passed away. Over there, there's a scenario where that wife will not be, quote unquote, cleansed in between by marrying Shimon, because there's no interim brother. Therefore, Levi's asur. No lo lo ach, after he passed away. Inami betray. Or the other scenario is where you have two, velo yabam, velo mit. It's a case where Reuven passed away, his wife is available for Yibum. Shimon does nothing. He doesn't perform Yibum with her, and he also doesn't pass away. Then Levi is born. So now Reuven's wife is still available for Levi, but Shimon's not doing anything. So for Levi, she remains in Erva. Eshet Achiv Shelo Bayo Velomo. So Mar says, Bishlamo Yabam Vacha Kach Nolad. In a case where Shimon already marries the woman, and then Levi is born, Ki Ashkucha Beheter Ashkucha. I understand why Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that Levi can marry her, because the only interaction, the only time he was in this world, was when this woman was married to Shimon. And therefore, he only knew her when it was mutar for him to marry her. Wait a minute. If the case was a case where he's born Levi, and then only then did Shimon perform Yibum with Reuven's wife, then my taima. Kasavar yesh zika. Vizika ki kenusa damya. The only way you could have this work out is if Rabbi Shimon believes there is zika. And not only is there zika, zika is strong enough to make it as if she was married to Shimon in the interim. So therefore, since she was as if married to Shimon in the interim, then when Levi is born, even before Shimon performs Yibum, it's as if Shimon performed Yibum with her already. And because it's as if Shimon performed with Yibum with her, it's as if the Yibum took place prior to Levi's birth. If that's the case, then again, it's Keheter. When Levi was born, she was already the wife of Shimon. In a case where you have both Zika and Mamar, Rabbi Shimon has a Safek. Whether she's considered to be married to this person or not. Zika l'chuda mibaye? You're going to tell me in a case with Zika alone that he thinks it's kikanusa? That makes no sense. In a case we have more, a stronger connection between them, Mamar and Zika, he's not sure. Also over here, just Zika alone, you're going to say, oh, yeah, they're fully married. So Mahi, where do we see this safek of Rabbi Shimon? It's not. Shlosha achim nisuim shlosh nashim nachriot. Three brothers married to three women have nothing to do with each other. One of them passes away. Reuven passes away. Shimon and Levi are now left to perform Yibum with his wife. Shimon does Ma'mar with the wife of Reuven. Umet, and then dies. They do Chalitza, not Yibum. Shnemar. Umet echad mehem. Yivama yomo aleha. Mishaleh zikat yabam echad. Only a connection to one yabam. Velo shaleh zikat shnei yivamim. In the end, this woman that comes from Reuven, Reuven's wife, who falls to Levi now, she first of all is married to Reuven, and then she has Mamar with Shimon. So now she's really falling to Levi from two people, both from Reuven and from Shimon. So that's why you perform Chalitza over here, because she has two Zikot here. She has a Zika from Reuven, she has a Zika from Shimon, and therefore he does Chalitza and not Yibum. And the original wife of Shimon does not perform Yibum Ella Chalitza. So people won't come to say that when you have Shtei Yevamot, they come from a single household, you could have performed Yibum with both of them. He just chose to perform Chalitza with one and Yibum with the other. We forced Levi to do Chalitza with both the wives of Shimon. Shimon Omer, Miyabim Leizem Hen Sheirtze. Let him do Yibum with either one he wants. V'choleitz L'Shnia. And then he'll do Chalitza with the second one. Yivumei Tarvayu Lo. He can't perform Yibum with both of them. D'dilma Yesh Zika. V'avishnei Yevamot Habot Mibayit Echad. Well, maybe there is Zika, and then you have a problem, because we have now two Yevamot that come from the same house. That means that they were both wives of Shimon, and now he's marrying two wives of Shimon. That he can't do. Yevume chada v'iftar idachlo. He can't perform Yibum with one of them and let the other woman go free with nothing. Dilma ein Zika k'knusa. Maybe Zika is not considered as if she was married to Shimon, and she's still the wife of Reuven. So one of them came from Reuven, one of them came from Shimon. They're independent wives, not co-wives. So Alma, Misfeikalei. He say that he has a Safek here. Shimon has a safek. In a case where you have mamar plus zika, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know whether it really is a zika knusa or not zika knusa. Our Mishnah is a case where there's just zika, not even mamar, just zika, and you're going to tell me he's a knusa legamre? That doesn't make any sense. That's the challenge to Rabbi Hoshaya's position as to why Rabbi Shimon really cannot argue on the first Mishnah in our Perek, because the first Mishnah in our Perek only has zika to it. And we already have evidence from other Mishnayot that Rabbi Shimon believes that zika is not enough to tell us Kekanusa Damya, because with zika plus mamar, he still has a safek. And certainly with zika alone, he has a safek. If he has a safek, then Rabbi Shimon certainly does not argue necessarily on our first Mishnah. He'd still at least be a safek. And this, Rabbi Hoshaya had a serious question brought against his position that Rabbi Shimon even argues in the first Mishnah in our Perek. Okay, we'll stop over here, four lines down on the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph.